but I was out of my mind. And they said that they thought, what are you going to do when things get out of hand? Not if things get out of hand, but when things get out of hand. And then I said, I, of course, would leave. But in order to prevent that from happening, there's a few things here. We want people to recognize that all of your time is important. And for those of you, so that way we're really going to stick to the agenda. So there's going to be time limits, and I know for those of us who are freedom of speech lovers, that's going to be tough. But I'm going to have to be a little bit tougher, and I do mean it with all due respect. Okay, any other housekeeping issues we need to address? That's it? All right, let's go ahead. And the first thing I want to do is I want to introduce our new general manager, Mr. Roy Campanella II. Where are you, Roy? Please stand up. After a long, exhausting, sometimes rather painful search. Are we ready to get started? Okay, here we go. The first panelist up is Susan Stone. And the question that Susan Stone is going to speak to is, how do we put community back into community radio?
Thank you. I will. Thank you. Okay. I began life at Pacifica Radio as a volunteer at sister station WBAI in 1979, and then joined KPFA as an unpaid staffer in 1982. And in 1988, I was hired as KPFA's director in drama, director of drama and literature, which was rechristened this year as the Department of Arts and Humanities. I love KPFA. I just love it. I've spent the most meaningful part of my work life under its roof. I know after 25 years with Pacifica Radio that it is nothing if not the voice of its many communities. Tonight I'm addressing the question about how we put the community back into community radio. But KPFA would never have survived this long if the community had ever left it. I'd like to first acknowledge what might be seen as shared concerns and hopes for our beloved and very complicated family. That KPFA's very survival depends upon its being meaningful, meaningful and relevant to our audience and supporters. That we increase the size of our audience, especially as our historic listening base and funding sources are aging and passing on, including the departure of listeners who have fallen away when they lose the programs they love. That we nurture and develop programs which reflect the changing community demographics of our powerful broadcast range. That these communities want to listen because KPFA speaks about them and to them through strong, compelling content. That we make it a priority to explore and develop our internet broadcast options. So KPFA is not just local, but national and international, streaming through kpfa.org. That we use the KPFA website to create more program access, cyber radio by local programmers, and for listeners who are leaving terrestrial radio for cyber radio, folks who've given up on the radio dial and just stream on the net. And I'd like to make a personal plea that we really take a look at the demographics of our own staff, which is now predominantly under 40, of color, and women. And speaking of women, I'd like to say that I want to change the dialogue at KPFA and in the community, that it is not about the color of the programmer on the air, it's about the gender of the programmer on the air. I'd like more gender equality at KPFA in our programming. I want you to take a good look at the KPFA staff because they truly are the new face that people fought to bring in here. They are the ones to whom we pass the torch, and that does not mean that they are here to set the building on fire. This staff is a mirror of our community. The staff comes from the very community which gives meaning and sustenance to the radio station. Staff began as listeners drawn to the arts and activism and information. And yet staff has also come to this radio station because KPFA does not represent them nor their communities, and they hope to make a difference through programming voices and issues that will otherwise not be heard. Just how is KPFA about community? We don't just have youth radio, we have senior radio. We have a healer, an herbalist, a doctor, and a preacher. We have hip-hop artists and composers, musicians and singers, union workers, the disabled, gays and straights, mothers and fathers and grandparents, a baker, a cab driver, actors and authors, students, a weaver, a playwright, and lawyers. We have the unemployed and the underemployed, people on disability and food stamps, We have Greens and communists, anarchists, socialists, Maoists, Democrats, but no Republicans as far as I know. Maybe do. Converted. There is movement within staff at KPFA, and there is change, but it is never enough, never fast enough. Not for everyone, not even for me, but there is change, and there has to be change, or KPFA becomes a museum instead of living, breathing, relevant radio. I would like to have the staff here stand up, and I'd like you to look at them, because they have been about change. Not all of us, but a lot of us. So you know who you are. I do hope my own voluntary departure at year's end helps defeat the charges that paid staff only leaves in a pine box. KPFA staff comes from community, from the very KPFA community which gives meaning and sustenance to the radio station. This staff began as listeners, again, I want to say, who were drawn to the arts and the activism. But it's the general community who also comes through KPFA's doors. It comes through the free KPFA News Department training programs, which has trained over 700 in the past 23 years, through the apprenticeship program, over 200 since 1984, through KPFA's New World Center and the independent production and programming collectives established through Voices of the Middle East, Youth Radio, Pushing Limits, the Radio Chronicles, Full Circle, Radio Bilingue 2050, and the Labor Collective. Community is the backbone of our fund drives. They work the pledge phone lines, send out premiums. They staff the invaluable subscriptions department. They are involved in our work-study programs and departmental internships. In that landmark year of 1999, KPFA and Pacifica were saved by community's deep and crucial activism from ruin and corporate takeover. Community took leadership in Pacifica's bylaws reform and the democratically elected LSB. Members of KPFA's community serve on the now democratically elected local station board, and community is represented on program council, providing your voice in programming affairs, and you should hear from them. But in order for this community-led democracy to work, it requires that we all participate, that we all vote in these elections, that we respect the LSB election campaign rules.
5 minutes.
That respect is extended by the LSB to all of us is equally important. That LSB factions don't alienate voters or cost us future candidate prospects because of persistent acrimony and division among the board. We may differ as activists in how we achieve our goals, but we are all dead in the water if we are consumed by ideology over function or partisanship over collaboration. We have to be the ones that have the stuff to be uniters and not dividers. So community has come in countless ways through our history, but KPFA must also leave the building and meet the community where it lives. In order to reach and reach out to its constituents, KPFA must be a forum, a town hall, a concert hall, or a stage to be meaningful to its community. It needs to be seen and heard and useful in ongoing voter mobilization efforts, anti-war rallies, music festivals, and political theater. And the station board could occasionally move its meetings beyond Berkeley to the communities who elected them, North and South Bay, Fresno, San Francisco, and elsewhere. Can we do better? Of course we can do better. I have long thought KPFA needs a coordinator dedicated uniquely to vetting and bringing in community volunteers and putting them in needed work areas at KPFA. This person acts as an advocate and liaison for community within KPFA, not just to recruit community volunteers to table at events, but to help determine training needs and outreach and better in-house support for community. And why not a recognition dinner like we've had in the past to honor community volunteer labor and support? And we can do that for staff too. What are we doing right now? KPFA has been teaching radio production to community through evening workshops, and even now digital workshops have been posted to teach our community collectives how to advance their computer editing and production skills. A community training liaison, though now only partially budgeted and scheduled for a number of the collectives, is certainly a critical item for our general manager to consider and implement in 2005. And broadcast access is key for community trained in radio production. Broadcast opportunity exists for community producers on KPFA's airwaves, and better liaison work with these programs could help open more doors for producers. To close, Walt Whitman describes community as the white-hot center of a democracy that burns bright. But right now, this country's democracy is not burning very bright. We are all political players in the most powerful nation in the world, and so our work is clear: to come together to strengthen and grow this radio station at a time when this country is the most divided it's been in more than a generation is something we have to do. We cannot beat the mainstream message if KPFA and its own community are divided on what this station needs to be right now. Healthy debate about what we need to do is critical. When people look to KPFA to question and challenge the policies of the Bush administration, we cannot focus on our work in a climate of antagonism and attacks. If we cannot engage in respectful listening, we compromise civil dialogue. We become bullies and brutes, and we all stand to lose. Let's not let our positive actions for change and improvement of KPFA's air devolve into adversarial activism, which leads to obsession with real and imagined enemies. And that's when our work comes to a halt and people leave the job. We cannot afford to lose fine minds and youth and skill. We cannot afford to lose our staff over and over and over. We need them and we need you. Community at its best is collaboration. You have always been there for us. You have always been a part of KPFA. My personal plea to our community and the entire KPFA family is that we do not let poisonous articles, cyber attacks, and slanderous programs take the place of fair and mediated, if need be, discussions or debates about who we are and what we need at this critical time in our history. We must not become the Jerry Springer show. We must endure beyond our individual roles and jobs and term limits. We are nothing if we don't leave something for people to work with. The station can only become greater if we focus on making good radio and not war. And right now we have a really good shot at making a difference. A new general manager, new elections, and 4 rough years ahead provide a great opportunity to speak up united and to redirect this country's thinking and our own. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was panelist Susan Stone addressing the question, how do we put the community back into community radio from the station perspective? And now we're going to toss the same question from the listener perspective to James E. Vann.
Good evening. I'm a longtime resident of the area and a longtime listener of KPFA. I live and work primarily in Oakland. By profession, I'm an architect. I spend most of my time working with low-income tenants and affordable housing issues, being one of the founders of the Oakland Tenants Union, and that's pretty much a full-time job. I'm here tonight, though, as a listener, a longtime listener of KPFA. I don't pretend to speak for the total listening audience, but I believe that most of my views, would be essentially echoed by many other listeners. As a listener to KPFA, I would like the following things when I listen into the radio. Programs and music that both inform and challenge me. Programs that clearly express their intent to carry out the mission of Pacifica, for peace, against war, for freedom, against oppression, for democracy, against tyranny and empire. I want to hear voices that are cutting edge, that open new frontiers, voices that speak truth to power, and that I would otherwise not have the opportunity to hear. I want news that helps me to analyze the forces at work in the world. News that helps me to question what I otherwise read and hear, but really don't know where it's coming from. News that helps me to hear what is not being said, and why the person who is saying something on the media is saying it. Where are they coming from? What I don't want is unthinking news. News that's just a bland reading of the AP or the wire services. I don't want to hear Iraqi resistors being described as terrorists. For defending their own country against illegal invaders. I don't want to hear about Iraqi planes violating a no-fly zone when the no-fly zone is U.S.-imposed, has nothing to do with the U.N., and is totally illegal. I don't want to hear the words gaps being used when legitimate labor union picketers are fighting for their rights and are being replaced by so-called replacement workers. I want to hear things called by their true names. I want to see my radio station reach out to new audiences and new constituencies. One of the most creative moves by KPFA in the last 2 years was opening its doors to Hard Knock Radio. This move alone cannot be adequately applauded. I want to hear Democracy Now! KPFA was a part in helping to make Democracy Now! What it is. And KPFA has access to what I feel is the very best program on radio today. I want my station to show appreciation for our jewels, our good things, and Democracy Now! Is one of those. I would like everybody to be able to hear Democracy Now!, so I would hope that our station could find a way to make space for Democracy Now! To be broadcast in the morning and again in the evening. Lastly, I want to be able to see, to feel, and to know that true, open, participatory, and inclusive democracy is being practiced at KPFA. I want to feel love and respect between staff, volunteers, committee members, and board members. No one singly owns KPFA. We all own it together. So let us stand together, work together, and be together to make KPFA the best radio station, not just in the Bay Area, but in the world.
Now, James, this may be the first time in the history of KPFA that we can say to someone, you actually have more time to speak. Do you want to use up those 5 minutes, or do you want to move it along? Okay, great. I think that's the first here, as far as I'm concerned. I think that's the first. The next panelist is Mariah Gallardon, who learned radio in the KPFA News Department in 1980 and was one of the founders of the Women's Department. She was in the Promotions and Development Director of KPFA until 1988. After her banning from all Pacifica stations in 1993, she became the founding producer with Norman Solomon of the National Weekly Public Affairs Program, Making Contact. She's also founded TUC Radio, a weekly public affairs program that currently runs on over 60 stations in the U.S., including KPFT in KPFK and in Canada, and on Bush Radio in South Africa. She owns a micropower radio transmitter and makes several journeys a year to Indian reservations to set up a temporary radio station for use in environmental actions and tribal gatherings. This year, she'll broadcast for the Lakota in South Dakota for the International Indian Treaty Council in Northern California. Mariah lives in an artist co-op in San Francisco, where she is Nicole Sawaya's neighbor. Now the question that Mariah is going to be discussing or addressing is it time to take back KPFA again?
I asked Solange if I could have everybody here who already took KPFA back one stand up, but she said it's going to be deducted from my time.
Well, now that we have an extra 5 minutes, let's go up and do that. Stand up right now.
All right. Please. All of you who handed out flyers, who got arrested, who picketed the station, who came to meetings. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's most of the crowd.
Jane couldn't stand up, but she even got arrested. So, Oh my God.
Orale.
Jane tried to prevent the records of Pacifica from leaving by blocking the exit when Lynn Chadwick absconded with boxes full of records. That was a great history. I thank you very much for all the work you've done. So is it time to take it back again? I think yes, mainly because it seems the station is unable to change. And it's unable to change. This became pretty obvious in the over a year and a half attempt to move Democracy Now, just to come up with a time switch. And even that time switch, it's not a change, it's just a switch, hasn't come through yet. And I am. If I'm talking louder, it's going to buzz. I wrote, when this became first apparent, that this was really a stalemate and it was going to be blocked. I wrote a long and sad and angry piece. I have some copies here. It was about what I felt was the collaboration of staff during the takeover, because the takeover couldn't have happened unless staff helped. I don't want to speak so angrily tonight, but I raised 30 incidents where staff could have stood up and gone on strike, or prevented the squandering of money, or prevented the change inside KPFA, and did not. I just want to focus tonight on the incident of the reprogramming and the restructuring of KPFA, which I believe is the reason for the station not being able to change in any meaningful way. When people talk about the takeover and the prevented takeover, they usually just think of two things. They think of the squandering of several millions of dollars of your money and others by Pacifica, and they think of the rewriting of the bylaws, which was very important and changed a lot. But parallel with that went a rebuilding of all the stations, of all the Pacifica stations, including KPFA. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. People talk about KPFA as Pat Scott Radio. That's sort of a joke within Pacifica, and it's a sad joke in a way. They fear that Pat Scott was very instrumental in changing the station, and the station has remained the way she made it. It's kind of unfair to just blame Pat Scott, because the 90s was a really important time for the restructuring of community radio, and it happened in many other stations as well. One of the wonderful benefits of being banned was I got around. I know so many stations now, and I know so many parts of the country I had never seen, so I have a really great outside view. The CPB, the NFCB, worked very hard on changing all community stations. And what they had all in common was a few things. One was to kick out community programmers and unpaid staff. That was a whole movement. And at KPFA, it happened in 1995, 165 unpaid staff were taken off the air, many of them people of color. The free time after kicking out the community programmers was mainly filled with people who then get paid. So that you have to get paid for radio was a movement that happened at KPFA and other stations. A star system was introduced. You remember Jerry Brown? I guess KPFA has great responsibility of having foisted this fraud on the community here by having given him this airtime to display himself as this great sage and new age, whatever. Also, the CPB, with the help of Pat Scott, changed the funding base for stations. And Arbitron ratings became a key to which the level of funding was pitched. It had never been like that before. Listener support was the key. Now it's ratings. So stations all over the country tried to make themselves more recognizable. And music played a big role in that. Music is the easiest way to make yourself recognizable. KPFT became the sound of Texas. Yeah, we enjoyed that here for a while. Remember when we got the sound from KPFT? At
5 minutes.
Okay, better.
Cell phones on stun, please.
Rush along. What happened, what I only found recently, was that KPFA paid staff actually doubled from the time I was there. There were just about 20 plus people paid, and now it's almost 50. And there are 10 more people, functions slated for payment. And that, of course, you know, if that many people are paid to do radio, they have a dual interest to not be dislodged and not change. The one thing in terms of looking at Pacifica's mission and Pacifica's vision, the one thing that I find most troublesome is the elimination of departments. I think it is unbelievable that KPFA does not have a public affairs department. Public affairs department, station that large, that rich, with so many public affairs issues. I've helped found the women's department. I still think that's a good idea. And the women's department, amazingly, was one of the most diverse departments at the station. Another department that was eliminated was the third world department. What's curious, too, is that all the department heads of these eliminated departments were people of color. The white-led departments remained, but the people of color departments disappeared. Is that a coincidence? I don't know. Then what we have inside KPFA, we had a hiring, a long series of hires, hiring people from NPR stations. And the NPR model made itself, established itself. In lieu of departments, now we have slots. We have people that the tags of some of the shows are longer than the ones for Car Talk. We have executive producers. We have producers. We have assistant producers. We have associate producers. Oh, we have board operators, and it takes at least 5 minutes to name all these people. That established within the station slots that are the property of certain groups, and within these groups a hierarchy from executive to lowly, whatever is mentioned last. So the internal vibrancy and democracy, or anarchy even, that existed when I produced at KPFA has disappeared under this NPR model. Meanwhile, my own experience was the happy, wonderful experience being kicked out of KPFA, experiencing indie media, alternative media, becoming an independent producer myself, realizing new experiments with video and radio, and a full, wonderful renaissance of radio that was very much in the spirit of Pacifica. So people took on what was buried and abandoned in Pacifica. And one of the glorious examples of all this is Amy Goodman. She was really able to get all these inspirations, technical innovations, the awareness of pirate radio stations here, community radio stations there, to create her program distribution system. The refusal of entrenched staff to allow democracy now into a better time slot is really amazing for two reasons. It's obviously well loved, and it's amazing because democracy now pays for a good part of the salaries of the people who deny it a better place. It's like, what's going on here? And it also highlights the isolationist mentality that is so strong at KPFA. Amy's technology, Amy's vast reach is just like
You know, when she says we are on 200 plus stations. Amy's interesting for another reason. The only station that has been really productive in bringing out great independent producers was WBAI. Dennis Bernstein, Amy Goodman, Robert Knight, Susan Stone, Michio Kaku, Mario Murillo. They all came out of a station that was not like KPFA now. It's a station that gave people a big chance. Okay, I have specific things to say about programming at KPFA. The PA department needs to come back. It's incredible that we're broadcasting into an area where so many people are speaking Spanish. At least the news headlines should be both in English and Spanish. I don't know why we keep ignoring the enormous prisons in our signal area. Have we nothing to say to them or hear from them? A really sad thing is that we have let water systems around in our signal area being privatized. We could have done town hall meetings. We could have gone there. We could have made this an ongoing, long project. GMOs would be the same.
I'm sorry, time's up.
Corporations ask me questions. What I wanted to end with was Cardinal Richelieu, the power to do nothing is great, but it should not be abused.
That was the voice of Mariah Gallardon answering the question, or speaking to the question, is it time to take back KPFA again? Next up is Gerald Sanders.
Okay, thank you very much. No, I have been asked to address two questions in my presentation. They doubled up on it, brother. I got what's going on throughout the Pacifica Network, and is the local station board showing the leadership we need? I'll speak to the question of the Pacifica Network first. I believe that Pacifica is at an important crossroads right now. As a result of the successful struggle to create rules and bylaws, a democratically elected local station boards and a democratically elected Pacifica National Board have been formed throughout the network at the five sister stations and the Pacifica National Board itself. Now, this in and of itself was a major achievement. And I don't think, I'm learning very fast how important it really is. Because people, we have to say, we live in a country that doesn't value democracy very much or democratic rights in general. Whenever people, what they say, the preachers were going around telling their flock that if you vote for Kerry, Kerry supported gay marriages, and therefore you're doing the work of the devil, you're going to go to hell. Now, apparently, a lot of people voted under these instructions. I'm serious. So, does that show much appreciation or understanding what democracy is? We have a lack of experience in participating in democratic processes in this country. All the way back, voting, just simply voting. Look at what's happening right now. So, understand that we are no exception. We're Americans. Here in the middle of all of this, and I know many of us like to think that we're an exception to the rule, but in fact, we are affected by that milieu. Now, what has happened? What did happen? From the beginning, there were people who simply opposed the bylaws, straight up and down the line. They did not want to see any elections whatsoever in Pacifica. They have a right to their opinion, I presume. This becomes a problem, though, when these people dominate the staff. And we'll talk about that on the second part. But it does become a very serious problem because it is the staff that actually carries out the work of the station. Okay. Now, So while we've had this conflict, which I'll describe in a minute, I think we do have to understand that it's really important to keep our eyes on the prize. I'm so happy to see all of you here this evening, and I have to do this. I want to tell you that we have functioning committees that are part of the local station board, and we need your active participation in those committees. So I'm going to mention some of them to you, and I have sign-up sheets right here, right now, that we're going to make available to those of you who want to go beyond simply discussing the problems at Pacifica. So we have the Committee of Inclusion. We have the Election Committee, certainly needs help. The Programming Committee, Technology Development Committee, the Outreach Committee I'm on, and Personnel Committee. We need participants for all of those committees. I cannot. Thank you very much. We got a cantankerous lot here, don't we? All right. So the point is, though, your participation really is necessary, and I'm hoping that at the end of this meeting, some of you will step forward to actually assist us, because that's what we need. We need you very badly. Now, despite this conflict, though, I think that, and in fact, necessary conflict, you're always going to have differences of opinion. We do need to keep our eyes on the prize. What has Pacifica recently accomplished, and where are we going? Well, yes, we do have some conflict, and Pacifica, with imperfect leadership, is poised to make, in my opinion, a major step forward. Number one, let's look at this Haiti. Right? Now, I'm sure many of you, most of you probably, heard the broadcast by Democracy Now! And Flashpoints with the special reports from Kevin Pena. Is that right? Now, you know, why am I talking about this now? That's history. Yeah, right. We made history because this tiny network, Pacifica, was the only network, only one, to come out consistently exposing the lie that Aristide had resigned and fled, that indeed he had been kidnapped with the assistance of the United States Army, right? That's right. Very important. It matters. The truth matters. You know, something to make us proud of our network. We also have now, I'm part of a negotiating committee that is attempting to bring, it's not over yet, there's still a vote necessary among the stringers, but we're attempting to bring free speech radio news back into Pacifica. Now, this would be very, very, a very important gain for us, not only from the personnel point of view, but because it represents a certain healing process that we hope is beginning. Free Speech Radio News has reporters in 150 different countries. I'm telling you, this is major for us. It also opens up the possibility of having headlines all day and creating our own news service to compete with Associated and Reuters. Oh, yeah. This is real. This is right now. Recently, our station in Houston was designated by a local newspaper similar to The Guardian as the best station in Houston, and they said that it had the best news in Houston. Yeah, we're moving. We're moving forward. In our last pledge drive in Washington, D.C., WPFW crossed the 500,000 mark, which was a big step forward for them. And I was there watching them. Boy, they were working. They scratched to get that $500,000. That was a big step forward for them. And here, KPFA, well, we just had a town hall meeting not too long ago in September, end of September, organized by the Outreach Committee under the leadership of Mrs. Steve Conley, who's the chair of that committee. And the city of San Francisco is contemplating giving an award to KPFA for community radio at its best as a result of this program. We can go on. We can actually go on, because the point I'm trying to get across to you is we are moving forward. Now, can we do better? Can we make this leap forward? I think it does require some change of focus here. And that is that we have to recognize that regardless of the differences of opinion that we can and will have, the debates that we can and will have, there is work that needs to be performed. And that's why I brought up the subject of those committees, because we really need your support. But just to go further with the weekly Metro audience of the 5-station Pacifica Network topped 1 million listeners a week for the first time in the organization's 55-year history. Once again, moving forward, WSCA in Portsmouth, New Hampshire has affiliated with Pacifica. And then we get WRIR in Richmond, Virginia has just affiliated with Pacifica. I'm telling you, this is important. And when we get Free Speech Radio News, I presume we probably will get many of the stations that were using their service. So we're talking about going from a handful of affiliates that we had to possibly over 50 in the next, 6 months, maybe, depending on what we do. Okay? So that's what's going on in the station. Big things, real big things. But they require a flexible and attentive leadership. Which brings me to the second question, and that is the local station board showing the leadership we need? Well, look, first of all, the KPFA station board is not so unique as many of us would want to think. In fact, we found that the situation is very similar in all 5 stations. There has been some difficulty on the part of some people simply accepting the fact that there is now a permanent democratically organized structure that is part of Pacifica. You may not want to believe that, but not everybody wants to accept that. Let me give you an example, okay? Brother James was talking about the Democracy Now! Change, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, let's look. We wanted to move Democracy Now! To times in which the working people can actually hear it. That is, people that work from 9 to 5 are going to tend to be able to hear it between 7 and 9, and we'd like to see it in the evening also. To tell you the truth, I thought that this was apple pie and motherhood. Made perfect sense to me. All the people I talked to, you would not believe the resistance that we got from a small sector of the staff. And this blew up into a whole lot of acrimony. There's this letter. By the way, on that table over there is a letter written by Robbie Osmond, who represents that is an answer to those who did not want to move Democracy Now. You might want to check that out yourself. I think that the LSBs, first of all, to say, are they providing the leadership that we want? Well, who is we? You know, there are some people who wish we'd go away. All right? What I think is a more accurate answer is that our results has been contradictory. On the one hand, we have succeeded and successfully done some things that are very important. So, for instance, on questions of transparency, headcount, salaries, all of that, the budget, we passed it here. We made significant gains in that field. And that matters. That's important. At the same time, I must say, there are times when we have been deadlocked. But this is not, it's not the doing of the LSB, let me tell you. We have to learn to work together with the staff. I'll stop right there. Thank you.
That was Gerald Sanders.